Hi, everybody. I'm an addict named Chuck.
Hey, Chuck.
It's a privilege and an honor to be asked to share at a convention. I haven't shared at a convention for a few years. The topic is the 11th step, and there's a lot of things to say about it, and I'm obviously not going to be able to cover everything, but mainly I'm going to try and share what my experience with the 11th step is. First of all, I just want to ask, is there anybody here at their first Ocean City convention? If you are, welcome. I hope you're having a good time. When I was at my first few conventions, and even up to a few years ago, I'm feeling a little tired right now, but normally about 12 o'clock I'd be winding up, and I'd do the 12 o'clock meeting, and then I'd go to the marathon meetings, and I'd go out to eat about 4 in the morning and stay up till the sunrise meeting and maybe catch 2 hours of sleep and then start the process all over again. But I think I'm getting too old for this or something. But, there's so many things to say about this step because I guess one of the most important things is, for me, when I first was ever exposed to any kind of 12 steps, I had this aversion to religion, and I grew up in a Catholic environment, and I always thought that I was smarter than everybody else, and I could always look for the loopholes, and I could always see what was wrong with the religion, and I could always see the hypocrisy, and how people would go to church on Sunday, and then on Monday they'd be stabbing people in the back or whatever. And I'd always look for the negativity. That was my way when I was using. And so I wasn't getting anything out of that. And the first time I ever saw 12 steps on a wall, I was in a detox in Montgomery General Hospital. It was 1977. I was 20 years old. And I was coming off dope, and I was sick, and I was on medication, and I needed to be there. I was just tired, and I was kind of glad to be there. And they had an H&I meeting, and we went into the room, and they had the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. And immediately, my eyes started running down, and I saw the third step, and I saw the word God in the third step, and I saw the word God in the 11th step. And I said, this isn't going to work for me. These are like Jesus freak people. They're born again Christians. They're going to lay hands on me, and this is just not going to work. And that was my out. And I was going to shut down, and I wasn't going to listen. But fortunately, I got a little bit of open mindedness and a little bit of willingness because I was so desperate to do something different. And I stayed and I started to listen. And I think, especially in Narcotics Anonymous, if you read, I just pulled out a couple things that I wanted to read. But if you first look at these steps and the wording of it, it can scare you out of here if you have any aversion to religion. It looks like it's a religious program, and it's really not. It's really a spiritual program. If you read the steps, and the second step and the third step are really steps that are important in getting up to the 11th step. There's a lot of suggestions for coming to believe and being open-minded, and it takes away, for me, it took away anything that I thought that this program had to do with religion. We say it's a spiritual, not a religious program. And what does that mean? I think we all know what religion is, but what is spirituality? And in 12th step, it talks about spiritual principles, and this is what we're trying to learn in this program here through the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. It says spiritual staying clean, we begin to practice spiritual principles such as hope, surrender, acceptance, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, faith, tolerance, patience, humility, unconditional love, sharing, and caring. Now, those are things that I can relate to. Those are things that I can strive to learn how to do in my life if it's going to help me stay clean. And those are the kind of things that attracted me here and didn't chase me out. And, you know, I stayed for a while. And this may sound stupid to some people, but I just got to say it. You know, the process for me of learning and understanding about higher power and learning about prayer and meditation was a process that happened over many years. And there were events in my life that happened that led me up to a point where I developed some kind of faith. The first time I think I really had any kind of a spiritual experience was when I did my fourth step in treatment. And I want to say something about doing steps. You know, sometimes people, we say, I'm on the one step a year program. You know, by the time I get 12 years, I'll have done all 12 steps. And I'm of the opinion, after a lot of conversation, a lot of thought, that is not the way to work this program. I don't see the point of carrying around all the garbage that we carry around from our youth when we get in here. And I think, although I continue to work the steps and I'll never be done doing them, I think to get through the 12 steps in our first year of recovery would be a tremendous help to me and a lot of people. I sponsor a guy right now, and I think he hasn't even started his first step yet, and he's got 5 or 6 months clean, and he seems like he's struggling, and I really think that I need to push him into doing some steps. But when I was in my first treatment program, they made you do a fourth step. It sounds ridiculous, you know. I had 30 days clean, but I was carrying so much crap around with me, and just whatever I was capable of doing with 30 days clean and some of the stuff that I was able to write down and share, I felt a tremendous relief. And I had, you know, what they call in treatment the pink cloud effect, and, you know, I really felt good for a while. And that only lasts for so long, but I specifically remember that being, you know, something that hit me. And but I stayed clean for about 4 years back then, and I ended up relapsing. And this is what I was going to say that may sound silly to some people, but I really made a spiritual connection with a higher power after my relapse. While I was high, I had been married, and I was going through this divorce, and it was very, very painful, and I was using hard, and I was probably suicidal. And one night I was so loaded, and I came back to my place where I was living, and I had been doing all this stupid stuff, like, you know, following this woman around to see who she was with. I was doing all this stupid stuff. I was so crazy, and I always ended up back at my place drunk or high and sick and throwing up, and I finally figured out that this wasn't working, and I had a piece of literature, and it wasn't. Recovery literature, but it's something that I read every day. It's something that my mother had sent me, and it's not, like I said, it's not NA, but it's a very spiritually based reading. And there was something in there, and it just hit me that, you know, what I was doing wasn't working, and that there was something better for me. And I went to a meeting the next day, and I got clean for about another 2 years, and I ended up going back out. But that experience, when I got back into the rooms in 1988, I remembered that happening, and I remember feeling connected to a higher power back then. And that has helped me in my recovery. And I guess a couple of things I want to say is, you know, like when I came in here and I saw the word God, and we use him and his. And there seems to be an implication of wording that's associated with a particular religion that might turn people off. But if you read the second step and the third step and the 11th step, you see that this program leaves it wide open for us to choose our own higher power. In the second step, it says, our understanding of a higher power is up to us. No one is going to decide for us. We can call it the group, the program, or we can call it God. The only suggested guidelines are that this power be loving, caring, and greater than ourselves. We don't have to be religious to accept this idea. The point is that we open our minds. And that's what I did. I became open-minded, and I tried things. And I got to tell you, it's like a higher power thing, and I'm asked to speak on this step because I've really been struggling with trying to get into a routine with prayer and meditation, because I find that it really works when I do it. But when I was new and my mind was really open, I found myself taking all suggestions and doing the things, and they seemed to work. I would get up in the morning, I would do a reading, I would ask my higher power to help me stay clean that day, because I struggled for a long time, my first year of recovery, and at the end of the day, I would thank my higher power for staying clean, and that seemed to work. And I saw little miracles happen in my life, and I saw, you know, I started to see that I could be a useful person, and I started to see that my life may have some meaning and some substance to it, as opposed to what I was doing when I was using, and it was all about me, and it was all about what I could get from you, and it was all about stealing from other people and getting high. And I started to feel like a worthwhile person. Also in the third step, it says, the concept of God comes not from dogma, but from what we believe and from what works for us. Many of us understand God to be simply whatever force keeps us clean. The right to a God of your understanding is total and without any catches. Because we have this right, it is necessary to be honest about our belief if we are to grow spiritually. And those are the kind of things that helped me to stay here. Because, like I said, when I came here, I was looking for an out, and I was looking for somebody to lay hands on me or do something crazy like that, and I was going to run out the door. The 11th step says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. As I stay around here a little bit longer, I don't always know what my higher power's will is for me, but I'm starting to know a little bit of what I think it is. Part of that process comes from knowing what it isn't. Like, I'm not supposed to use drugs. If I was, I wouldn't be in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I wouldn't have ended up in three detoxes and, you know, got arrested for drunk driving and got hepatitis C from shooting dope or whatever. I mean, if I was supposed to use drugs, it would have been like slipping off a wet log on a river. But it wasn't like that for me. So for me, I know I'm not supposed to be using drugs. And for me, I think I'm supposed to be in Narcotics Anonymous and try and be a useful person and carry a message of recovery to a new addict who's suffering with this thing and trying to get clean. And that gives my life some meaning and some purpose. And then other things happen as you stay clean. And if you keep your eyes open, I start to see, you know, why I think I'm supposed to be here. I was in a workshop yesterday at 1:30, the topic was just for today, and this lady was sharing, and she said that her sister had 8 years in recovery and relapsed and had a three-year-old daughter, and the woman who was sharing had gotten a few years clean, and she took custody of her sister's daughter, her niece, and she's still taking care of her today, and her sister's still out there using. And she said, maybe that was God's will for me, was to be clean and to be there for that person. You know, when I had 2 years clean, my father died, and I was able to be there clean to help my family get through that. Little things like that happened since I've been clean, you know, helped me to tell me that, you know, I'm on the right spiritual path and I'm doing the right thing. I just want to say a couple more things just real quick. It talks about meditation. When I was in college and I was using pretty hard, and I think all my life I was seeking something. You know, I had this big, what we call a God hole, And I was always trying to fill it, and I was trying to fill it with drugs, and I was always searching for something. And I joined the Communist Party when I was in college because I thought that was the answer. But they told me that they don't do drugs. So I said later to that. So I started doing psychedelic drugs, and I thought I was having spiritual experiences, and maybe I was, I don't know. But the problem was I'd stay up for 2 days on that stuff and come down, and I'd be worthless, wouldn't be able to do anything. But through that search, I went and took this class on transcendental meditation, which is not as weird or as profound as it sounds, but they teach you a method of meditating, which is a 20-minute, twice a day. You close your eyes, you say a mantra, and it clears your head. And I try to do that. I don't do it every day, but I notice when I do that on a regular basis, and when I do my reading in the morning, and I try to pray. And sometimes my prayers are not just in the morning when I get up. Sometimes I pray on the way to work. I pray when I'm on the Beltway in Washington, D.C., and I'm getting cut off by people, or I turn my radio off and I try to, you know, I try to get in contact with my higher power. I'm trying to get to a point in my program where I do that on a regular basis and I don't get myself jackpotted, but I find that I've done this all through recovery and I'm still going through it. I find that when I get into a jackpot, that's when I do my most praying. And even desperate prayers work, I think. But I'm trying to get to a point in my program where I get to some, I put enough of this in the bank, enough spirituality in the bank, that when a crisis comes, I don't have to fall apart and I don't have to go into crisis mode and get all tense. I'm going through some things now, clearing up some wreckage of my past. In recovery, I got into some financial problems and find myself doing a lot of praying, trying to get out of it. But had I been doing this on a regular basis all along, I would have figured out that it was not my higher power's will to be irresponsible with money the way I was, and I wouldn't have got myself in this situation. But I guess I just want to say, I guess that in my recovery, I've found that prayer has worked for me. I don't know how it works. I just know it works. I don't know how gravity works, but I know it works. If I went up to the fifth floor of this building and told you I don't believe in gravity and I jumped off, you'd be scraping me up off the ground. I don't have to believe. I mean, I don't have to know how prayer works to know that it works, but that's what I was told when I came in here, and that's what I've experienced. And that's about it. I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. And now for our second treat of the evening, we have Delphine.
I'm an addict. My name is Delphine. And I know it's only by God's grace that I'm here and clean tonight. And I'm very grateful that the convention committee, the program committee, asked me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope on this step. And I think I'm actually starting to wake up again, getting a second or third win for tonight. Sadhu prayer and meditation. You know, I'm like a lot of addicts, I think, when we come around and we hear people share things and then we start mimicking them. And I did the same thing. I heard people share that, well, they were raised in the church. And I said, well, okay, I was raised in the church. So I thought that meant I had some kind of handle on something. You know, some kind of, you know, I didn't look at the fact that I didn't act like I was raised in the church or that I had broken all the commandments I knew about. I didn't look at any of that. But I heard someone say not too long ago that just because you sit in a garage doesn't mean you're a car. And so I had to rethink that, well, maybe my exposure didn't prepare me like I think it prepared me. I didn't have the handle, I thought. But I, too, believed that I was always in search of a conscious contact, and also got sidetracked with the hallucinogenics. I mean, really thinking I was having a spiritual experience, really believing it, though. But, you know, when I got here, one of the first meetings I went to in D.C. was an 11-step meeting, and I still attend that pretty regularly whenever I get a chance now. And I heard someone share that meeting that prayer works, and also be careful what you pray for. So I kind of took both of those to heart to the best of my ability and tried not to have specific prayers, you know, to this day. Like I said, I believe I was raised knowing about prayer, and I was taught to say my prayers before I went to bed at night. That was, you know, the extent of my prayer life. And I always did that, even through my addiction, unless I passed out or I was too embarrassed to pray in front of whoever was there. But there's always been some kind of prayer connection. Now, I must admit that a lot of those prayers were, please don't let me get evicted, okay? Please let me get away before, you know, someone realizes I'm there or get caught. Please don't let this be a beat bag. You know, those type of begging prayers, you know, but the thought was there that prayer, some kind of prayer worked, and I would beg and plead and call it a prayer. But I got to this program, and you all started giving me a different slant on the prayer part. I mean, it was a while before I got to the meditation, so I'm only going to deal with the prayer part. And as I got exposed to the steps and got involved with the steps and started working them with my sponsor, I came to the understanding that I didn't get myself here. Okay, I didn't keep myself alive to even get here, and I don't keep myself here now. So there had to be a power greater than me, and it wasn't me. I couldn't take the credit. I moved into step two with the group being my higher power. I didn't know this many people that didn't get high. So when I got here and saw there was this many folks that called themselves addicts and they weren't using for 60 or 90 minutes, I thought there's something powerful going on here. And I needed to be a part of it. And I started wanting to become a part of it, and became willing to what I can interpret as turn my will and life over to the care of a God, if I understand. I didn't understand that, but I knew that I didn't want to go back where I came from, and you all were offering me a different way if I took certain steps and turns, and I was kind of willing to do that. I was not willing to rebel, maybe more so than I was willing to try something different. My sponsor told me that if I wanted a new way of life and was willing to try this, then I would go on with the rest of the steps. That's what the third step was, turning it over to this power that I'm coming to understand. I think that I'm coming to understand a little bit better with each step, because I needed this power more and more with each step. As I did the fifth and shared that and had my first prayer with somebody else, because we prayed before I started my fifth step. That was a total new experience for me. And I went on learning that I couldn't remove character defects on my own. I had to go to this power again. I had to keep praying, praying about the shortcomings, praying for the willingness to make a list of people I had harmed, and then the willingness to make the amends to them. It's a constant building this contact as I work through the steps. By the time I got to 10, I finally had started achieving some kind of life that I wanted to hold on to. I wanted something different. My life was such, I wanted this, I wanted to keep it, I wanted to do whatever was needed to keep it and hold on. And that meant continuing to take a personal inventory. And I was willing to do that because I'm liking the way my life is changing now. I didn't even begin to start thinking about meditative processes until I got to 11. And I started out listening to things I heard other people share, getting other experiences, and then trying them. And to this day, I still try them. I don't have a lock box of a lock method of how I'm going to do it or how I'm going to stay in it. I try to stay open-minded enough not to limit what I do and what I can get and what I can gain from the meditative and prayer process. I started out doing it in the bathtub, just taking people's suggestions with the candles, being quiet, laying back, relaxing, freeing my mind, getting quiet. And that worked for a long time. As a matter of fact, it's not that it stopped working, but that as I changed and grew, I needed something different and more, and I would try different and other things, not limiting myself. I found myself accidentally after having a day of running, and I get back home finally at the end of the night and turn my car off. When that silence hits me for the first time, that silence and stillness hits me for the first time during the day, I just sit in the car and go into a meditation. And I've even sat there long enough for a neighbor to tap on the window to see if I was all right, because I was just sitting in the car. And yes, I was. I had just found a period of time when it was all right to retreat, to go back into the quietness and just lay, pray, listen for answers. Sometimes I get answers and I didn't even know I was looking for them. You know, things are revealed that I didn't even realize I needed to have revealed. And so I know that's not me, that it's my higher power, and that's okay. You know, I found the longer that I stay here, the harder it is to break out 10, 11, and 12. You know, it's kind of like a daily package deal that has to work together for me. I have to look at where I am and why I'm feeling like I am, and then go to the prayer meditation for the help and getting through that or the understanding, and then try and practice these principles and all my fears. It kind of all works together. I was looking for this reference in the It Works How and Why. There was a reference I can remember referring to about the dream, since the theme of this convention is Lost Dreams Awaken, and it's a reference to it in the 11th step also about our dreams. And I can remember thinking I had forgotten that I had dreams or what they were. And it's been through the prayer and meditation and quiet period that those dreams have actually been reawakened for me. I forgot that I started trying to get a degree 36 years ago. I started out trying to get a degree. And like you, with the trying to seek the higher power, higher consciousness, I kind of got sidetracked for a lot of years. But through the prayer and meditation, I was able to come to the realization that that's a dream that I once had that I could have today. And I made a commitment at 50 years old to go back to school finally and finish. You know, go ahead and complete it. That's a dream that had been lost. I had even forgotten about it. And I had a dream a long, long, long time ago that had gotten buried. I kind of wanted to work in an international arena, you know. I was a French major when I started out school. You know, it was because I had that, and that dream died and got buried, and I didn't even know. But that's been reawakened in the last couple of years. I've got a chance to step out. This addict who couldn't get outside of the Beltway, okay? I could never get enough in me to get outside the Beltway. I always intended. I always promised my people, I'm coming, you know, every holiday. Yeah, I'm coming. And, well, another couple hours. Well, I missed the last bus, train, plane, whatever. And I'm not coming this time, but the next time. I could never get out the Beltway. And now I've been able to not only get outside the Beltway, but get outside the country a couple of times. And it's reawakened a dream to kind of work in that arena. And I'm amazed at this creativity that's been awakened and is starting to work again. And I know for a fact that's a direct result of being able to just stop, take time out, go into that inner whatever, and and listen for God's answers, you know, meditate on that, ask. I was always afraid to pray for specifics, so I've kind of tried to stay within the guidelines of just asking, and if I do get specific, then if it's your will, God, then I'd like this to happen. In the last 5 or 6 weeks, I had I have a brother who was a firefighter who was injured very bad in a awful fire up in Pittsburgh. And the family and everyone has been praying, you know, if it's God's will, that he recover to the best of his ability. And even he had the prayer that he would accept whatever came out of that. And we've been praying as a family. And that's because you people taught me and made me the kind of person that could lead my family in prayer and meditation and step up to the plate. My mother died 2 years ago. And as she went through her sickness, my prayer was that she'd not suffer. You know, I didn't pray to keep her here. You know, if she was going to suffer, you know, I prayed. My prayer was just to, that it be God's will that she not suffer. And she didn't suffer. You know, I believe he took her and that she went on and isn't suffering. And I have just one more angel now looking down, looking for me. You all, through this program, gave me that, made me able to step up to the plate and turn it over. You know, when it happened, you know, my prayer was, I don't have any experience in this. You're going to have to take this, God. And I did that and allowed the God of my understanding to work in my life to get us through that, to get the family and myself through that. I think this is probably more as a third step prayer experience, but I was flying overseas for the first time last year, and I told my sponsor what to say in case something happened. You know, if the plane go down, I want you to get up at my memorial service, and, you know, this is what you're going to say, that I was all right, all was well in my soul, it was okay, and so forth. Well, on the plane, you know, when we flew over the Bermuda Triangle and hit all that turbulence on this big plane. And I started thinking, whoa, okay. And I had gotten up and gone to the restroom, and they asked everybody to sit down, and we started this horrendous turbulence. And I said, I'll die of suffocation or claustrophobia if I go down in this box. I can't do that. And so I, you know, got the door open and then sat down and held on while we were going through that. And then I tried to remember a prayer, and I couldn't. And I finally, you know, did a very, very, very short version of the Serenity Prayer, and that's, well, you got this, God. I have to go with it. And, you know, we got on through that, and that helped me, you know, once again to realize that it's that inner place where I make that connection that I can stay centered and connected and have somewhat of an emotional balance in my life. Like I said, I've gotten to the place where I like the life I've been given, and I want more of it. And if that means continuous inventory and staying in the prayer and meditation mode and then practicing these principles in all my affairs, then I'm willing to do that for the life I have today. There's no comparison of what I left and was delivered from and allowed to live through to what we can have, to what I can have today with dreams awakened again. And I'm so grateful for that. So thanks for letting me share.
Before we open up the meeting to those who would like to share, please remember that you need to come up to the podium. So is there anyone that wants to come up?
Hi, my name's Debbie, and I'm an addict. And I just had one of those lightning bolt experiences I wanted to share. I do service work in a couple different places, and I had an accident in which I got hit by a cab about 20 years ago, and I couldn't read or write really well when that was all over with as a pedestrian. And, you know, I thought I was going to be a journalist, you know, when I grew up, when they say, what do you want to be when you grow up and all that? And I think for me, you know, part of growing up was just coming to the rooms of NA. And I had 9 months, and then I had relapsed, and then I came back. It took me a while to, took me like 90 days to get back on the beam. And I, my clean date is January 23rd, 1993, and I remember sitting here at the Spring Convention that year, and we had, this was before they remodeled the center, and we had a book mug ceremony. And I kept looking around. It turned out that I was the one with the least clean time at the table, but I think I had, I guess, 90 days at that point. And I felt kind of like I was, you know, taking something from somebody else who it deserved, you know, to get the book. So anyways, what happened was somebody wrote, the person who gave me the book, she had 10 years. And at that point I was like, yeah, right, I'll be here that long, you know, like it'll even work. What I'm doing now is I do service work in a couple different places, and some of the service work I'm doing is actually doing writing and doing literature writing. And one of the things that has come across to me is I get writer's block big time, where all the ideas, nothing seems to make sense. Sometimes it's easier for me to just show up in a meeting, like marathon meetings all night, and sit and write what I'm supposed to write, because I'm surrounded by recovery, I'm surrounded by messages from God. And one of the things that I learned is that when I start to do these things, my own anxiety and my own triangle of self-obsession gets in the way. So to get to self-acceptance, what I have to do is I have to do step 11. And I do that, and I'd probably do a step 3, 7, 11 thing. But I was just looking in this book because I was trying to, you know, get some centeredness looking at step 4. And this is what this person wrote. And I think I know who this person is, actually. And I, for the last 10 years, I've been looking at this and going, I'm not sure who this person is. But I think this person actually asked me to do a service commitment today to share some information with some women about recovery. And it didn't even connect to me. This is probably the same person who gave me this book. And it said, Debbie, never say only when you speak of your clean time and related accomplishments. God has plans for you, I'm sure. Love abounds. Best wishes, Pauline. And I'm going to ask her, because I think it is her, actually. But for the longest time, I had, like, no idea, you know. And I'd always go, oh, well, you know, they have more time than I do. They know more than I do, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, what really happens for me is when I open my mind and I open my heart to God's will and God's message, I do get it. Thanks for letting me share.
Family, my name is Judy, and I'm an addict. Hi, Judy. And I'm real grateful to be here. I said I was coming to this meeting. I had no idea who was sharing. This is how my high power talks to me. And a lot of times when I first came here, I have a sponsor who constantly talked about the, she talked about Dear God letters. Almost 16 years ago, I started writing. And it's been a journey and experience. I've been blessed with visualization meditation. I've gone through healing meditations by people who have been placed in my life. I have been utterly blessed. My dreams, the path I'm on, has not only been awakened, but is in progress. And my high power continuously, everything is through His grace. What my prayer has been, and I dare anybody to try this because it really works, if you ask Him to carry you through the next blessed 24 hours, your higher power will. Doors will open and things, you'll see things in a different light. And I can see each blessing in my life as it unfolds. It's always the next day, of course. And I have a book of someone who's been around for 20 years. And in that book, they talk about doing a daily writing in the morning. And we're real familiar. That's a 10th step. and you get to sort of look back on the day before, and I get to see all my blessings in retrospect, how he gets me up, because I don't use an alarm clock, y'all. I get up on time every day. What I've learned, nothing is out of order. Everything I do is just as it should be. I'm here in this meeting because I was supposed to be, and I heard two fantastic speakers. Thank y'all for sharing. All I can say is that my high power, I've been back to school, graduated. My path is, I thought my path was clear, and now I'm working with kids from 9 to 13 years old. I work a part-time job. I don't even have no clue how the bills get paid. I don't know. I really don't know. I have credit cards. I'm able to move around money until grant money can come in. I do have a 501c. I've been moved from job site to fulfill the path I'm on. This is the service that I was brought here to do, and it's on a much larger scale than ever I know. What I'm doing now is affecting people's lives, and I don't even know. There are ways people are telling me. Parents are coming to me saying, wow. Kids are excited. There are things I'm doing. And see, I don't know what the effect of everything is going to be. I just know I'm being used as a tool. And I just want to close by saying my mother, and for people who don't know, I'm an incest survivor. Their amends were made before my mother left here. I was told to, I left my apartment because I was put out because they wanted to rent it to a drug dealer. I'm like, why? I got moved. I didn't know where I was going. Got moved to Virginia. Ended up coming back here. And ended up at my mother's house. Found out she wasn't taking her medication. Got to be with my mother. Take her around. Take her to her doctor's appointments. And she was still working. My mother had a stroke and died within 2 weeks. Grace made those amends. I didn't have anything to do with anything that was going on. What y'all told me to do was show up, follow the path, and that's exactly what I did. I'm very much at peace. My mother died in 99. At the same time, I was asked to leave that job. I didn't know how I was going to pay bills. Walked in somewhere and was hired on the spot. Don't know. And I didn't know nothing about that security. That was a far-fetched one for me. I had nothing in my thing that even noted security. So I don't even know how I got the job. But these are all the things that happen on the way. And I've graduated. I did get my degree. My high power is awesome. And every time I look up, I don't know how he does things. And before I came to this convention, I had no money in my account. It was in a negative balance. The day we were leaving, my balance is now a couple of thousand over. I don't do nothing. I just show up, and I do the work I'm told to do. For me, the 11th step is just the prayer and meditations, listening to my higher power. And I have to ask him constantly to give me the courage, faith, and strength to do everything I need to do and just step out the way and follow his direction. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, my name's Tom. I'm an addict.
Hey, Tom.
I don't know. I was sitting back here. I mean, when I think of the 11th step, see, that's a maintenance step, man. So it's like tied in with 10 and 12 because I was thinking like, it's tax season, you know, and when I was praying and meditating, God was like saying, hey, you know, you got to be honest on your taxes, you know. You know, it's funny how, you know, so many times, you know, you don't even know that God or your understanding is talking to you. You might think that's just a little guilt trip or something like that, you know. But as I was sitting back here, I was thinking about practicing the presence of God. And I used to hear that a long time ago. I haven't heard that in a long time. But to me, you know, the 11th step, I've been working these three steps for a long time because I'm in the maintenance part. See, I don't have to go back if I do the maintenance, you know. And it's real important here that I learn to listen because, you know, I learned if I can shut up long enough that God and my understanding can speak to me and he'll point out some things that I need to do because, I've learned about house cleaning through this step, because if I'm not hearing from God, he's usually kind of telling me to go back and do a, you know, in the Army, we used to have this thing called a GI party, you know, and every once in a while he sends me back to the tent to do that, you know, to scrub that floor with the toothbrush. He wants the house clean, you know what I mean? So then I can approach him with a clear conscience in the 11th, and then he gives me something to do. Because if I got a dirty house, it gets in the way of doing his will, because it will always be distorted, you know. And it's been kind of like a, sometimes you end up doing these things you don't even know why you're doing them, but sometimes you get confused. Like I'm on the road a lot, and I'm a salesman, and the God of my understanding, he speaks to me quite a bit. I was amazed, you know. You know, when I started to realize what he was doing, you know. And usually it's like, it's either building me up or straightening me out. You know, it's always the balance. That's why I think the 11th is right in the middle. It's just the balance, man. What do I need to do today, you know? And I find that, like, if I show up for work, you know, he'll probably put you into business, you know. It's I keep thinking about that tax thing, because I'll tell you what, it's so tempting, you know. It's so, I have to pay taxes, you know, and it really bothers me, you know, and I don't want to pay taxes, but, you know, that's part of life, man. That's part of recovery, you know. You have to do what's right no matter what it is. Otherwise, you can't really tell anybody, you can't really share anything of value. It takes away from your message. You know, when you're trying to share honestly about people to be honest, and you're not being honest yourself, you know, you just feel like a pretty much like a hypocrite, you know. And it's so much easier. And I was so proud because I did it just right, man. I did it just right, you know. And I got through that. And that might not seem like much to somebody, but it was really hard for me. And I remember when I would hit my knees trying to bargain with him a way out of that. You know, maybe you're not understanding the tax code there, Lord. But it's a way I understand. I have my own tax code, you know, but he had his, you know. And his was like, if you owe it, pay it. Just surrender it, man, because it wasn't mine anyway. You know, and that's a little lesson in the 11th step. I don't know. I hope, you know, you never have to go through that. But I have to go through it every year, so thanks for listening.
Thank you for sharing.
I'm an addict.
Hi,
and I got here a little late, but I was over there doing my little entertainment part of the convention. And I didn't think I had marked off coming to this 11 step meeting, but some kind of way I got disinterested over there in that entertainment. So I ended up here. And I got here just in time. I don't know your name, but I think I.
Delphi.
Yeah, I've heard you before. And, you know, I remember reading in the literature that it talks about prayer being a part of the recovery program. And, you know, we had the cliches around here, if you pray, don't worry. If you worry, don't pray. You know. But anyway, getting that relationship, as it talks about in the 11th step, an improvement with the conscious contact. And that meant that in the third step, I had a little bit of contact with a higher power, with a God in my understanding. But I had some work to do. I had to work some work to do before I got to 11. I had to do some work in 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, 9, and 10. To move some barriers. I think that's what the literature talked about. I had some barriers I had to move out the way so me and God can get just a little tighter. You know, that's when it says improve. And for me, you talk about the meditation part. And I guess it just comes automatic for me now. Just always looking for signs. I'm just like antennas going up. God, is that experience I'm supposed to get something out of? And, you know, I have a little saying, I guess some of the newcomers used to say, I just thank God for everything, the good and the bad. And that's you know, that's for me, it's just that having that contact with a God. God and me and God, man. And it talks about being able to surrender. That surrender process started in the third step. Take my will and my life, guide me in my recovery. And like I said, in that 11th step, the surrender is just there. As you said, praying only for the knowledge of his will and the power to carry it out. And that's where I really surrendered. And I heard a few people talking about just, it was that Judy said, I dare you. She said, I dare you. That's right. Surrender to the God if you understand it. And just leave it up to him. And I don't know. Ever since I've been doing that, whatever comes down the pike, I say, I'm just prepared to handle it, you know. That's all I need to share. Thank you.
Hi, I'd like to thank everybody who shared tonight. Let's close the meeting with a moment of silence.